Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, June the 7th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had a great week. Obviously, we're still living through some crazy times. If you want to hear my full thoughts on kind of what's going on in the world, check out the last podcast. I don't feel like I should do that, you know, every episode now. We all know stuff's wild right now. We all want change, you know, so we're all just riding this thing out together, but hopefully today you can enjoy some professional wrestling talk. I'm recording this not long before NXT TakeOver in your house, so you may be listening to this afterwards, but I am recording it on the same day, and I'm going to give you some quick predictions for NXT TakeOver right at the end of this episode. So if you want to hear those prior, you might want to fast forward to hear those and then go back to listen to the rest of this episode at your convenience. So if those of you are here to maybe hear my predictions on that, or if you want like a full detailed prediction for NXT TakeOver in your house, me and Jesse Davin did full predictions on her YouTube channel, so I recommend checking that out after this podcast as well. But these are going to be the topics for today's episode of The Weekender. We have recommended shows for you on IWTV and on YouTube. So recommended shows and matches for y'all. Just like every week, I always want to give you something to watch that I've recommended that maybe you've never seen before, maybe you've forgotten, maybe you just want to revisit. So we'll talk about that a little bit at the top of the show. We also have new results for 205 Live and Impact Wrestling. We have new YouTube content on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel, so we'll talk about that. I've got a full recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Gig. And like I just mentioned, I will give you some quick predictions for NXT TakeOver in your house right at the end. So without any further ado, let's jump right into the topics, starting with my recommended show this week on IWTV, and that is Absolute Intense Wrestling's 7-Year Itch. Now, I have to call them out on this, people over there at IWTV. I love y'all. Probably my favorite streaming platform in the world is IWTV, no joke. Absolutely love it. Use it all the time. Especially when I'm video editing, by the way, for MMA On Point. I'm usually sitting here in my office doing my editing on my two screens that I use for video editing. And I had to have a monitor to the left of where I edit, this bigger screen, that I usually have IWTV just running on mute, just constantly, just looping matches and shows, because sometimes I'll be sitting here for 12, 13, 14 hours at a time video editing in this room, so I usually have some music playing in the background, I've got my editing stuff in front of me, and then just to my side, I've got IWTV in the corner of my eye, because I love keeping up with wrestling, and it's a lot of fun to you know, I like watching that stuff while I'm sitting around working. So anyways, I will mention 7-Year Itch is the name of the show, but if you click on it on IWTV, it actually shows up as 7-Year Inch. So shout out, or maybe just kind of heads up to those of you who are looking for this show, it may show up on there as 7-Year Inch, which is definitely it's a funny typo. But nonetheless, the show is AIW's 7-Year Itch, and Billy Kidman is in the thumbnail of this show, so obviously it's a play on his old moniker back when he was a part of the Flock, Raven's Flock in WCW. Billy Kidman's finishing move, the Shooting Star Press, was known as the 7-Year Itch. So, kind of a cool callback to that. Billy Kidman is one of my favorite professional wrestlers ever. His Shooting Star Press was a bit sketchy, but at the time, it was totally mind-blowing, because I had never seen Jushin Thunder Liger, who, you know, originated the move. I'd never seen him do it before, before Kidman, and just because of my age. You know, I was watching WCW growing up, and I had just kind of missed Jushin Liger, like, because he had done some stuff in WCW, but that was, like, right before I really dove deep into watching all the time. And granted, keep in mind, you know, I'm 32 currently, so, like, this would have been, when was Liger in WCW, like really early 90s, and then Kidman would have been more towards like maybe like 1996 or so, and I would have been like 8 years old, something like that. So that's where, you know, it makes sense where I would have seen Kidman doing this first, because I was watching then, and there was no internet, and I couldn't tape trade and stuff, and wasn't old enough to be doing that kind of stuff, and I would have to go rent old VHS tapes from my local Blockbuster and Hollywood Video, because there's really no other way of watching wrestling. That's how I got into wrestling, and how I got into mixed martial arts was just renting VHS tapes all the time when they would come into either Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, which were both right up the street from me when I was growing up. So, all that to say, I was a very big Billy Kidman fan. He blew my mind with that Shooting Star Press. Obviously, I know now about Jushin Thunder Liger and have become a fan of his as well, but really big fan of Kidman. Great to see his name and picture and everything on this show. So he makes an appearance on the show, obviously. He doesn't wrestle a match, but he does make an appearance. As far as the matches on this show, this is what to expect. We got Trey Lamar versus Facade versus Wheeler Yuta versus Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham versus AJ Gray versus Danhausen. That is a loaded match right there. I'm a fan of everybody in this one for completely different reasons. Like, Facade is somebody who I think is super slept on. Like, he's done a lot of work in Japan recently. Maybe just, like, Asia in general. I'm not sure where all he's been lately. But years ago, I would see him wrestle in the Nashville Fairgrounds. And I didn't really get to know him well, but, I met him a few times. Him and his girlfriend, she has a very similar look. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, and I feel really bad about that. It's been years. But regardless, they have a very similar look as far as, they both have, long blonde hair, both very athletic, can do a lot of really cool stuff. And they're both really, really nice people. I guarantee you I still have them somewhere. They gave me business cards back in the day. I met them, and they had business cards. And I thought that was really cool, because not a lot of wrestlers really carry business cards, independent wrestlers, which I think, the age of social media, I don't know how valuable the business cards are at this point, because now you can just kind of follow people. But I will say, I do remember getting those business cards from Facade and his girlfriend, who's also his manager, or valet, into the ring and everything. So anyway, Facade is somebody who reminds me a lot of Jeff Hardy. He probably gets that comparison often, but it's a compliment of a comparison. And he's somebody that I think eventually will make a name for himself in the U.S. I think he was probably just kind of a victim of being wrong place, wrong time, when certain other people were popping off on the indies. For instance, when I was seeing Facade in the Nashville Fairgrounds, this is the same time where, Ricochet and Will Ospreay and those kind of guys were really, really popping off. They had been doing great stuff for a long time, especially Ricochet, who's been around forever. I think he started wrestling in the year 2000 or something, or close to that. He's been a pro wrestler for 15 years or something at this point, 15, 20 years. But, Ospreay came along a bit later, of course. But you had guys like that. And Facade wrestles kind of a similar type style to those kind of wrestlers. And I just don't think he was able to really just create a huge buzz about himself. But when I would see him on these indie shows, he was always getting over big time with the live crowd. So I was always kind of a little confused as to why he wasn't bigger, a bigger name. And anyway, he is doing more things in the States again recently. So I don't know if he's traveling back or forth or really what he's doing current. Well, obviously right now everybody's kind of at a standstill with the pandemic and all that stuff currently. But yeah, Facade, I know I've talked quite a bit about him right now, but it's somebody I've never talked about on the show before. And I talk about most of the other people on the show pretty often, so I wanted to highlight him a little bit. So go out of your way to check out Facade. If you've never, it's spelled Facade, by the way, because that is a strange word. But Facade. If you enjoy his work, or even if you don't, let me know what you think in the comments below, or hit me up on Twitter at @FightTalk_ @FightTalk_, and let me know if you've never seen Facade before. Let me know what you think about him if you check this match or any of his other matches out. And then, you know, we got Wheeler Yuta. I talk about him all the time. Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham, he's somebody that, you know, I've talked about every now and then, but he's completely unexplainable. He does not look like a pro wrestler. He does not move like a pro wrestler. But he's a great pro wrestler. He is a great heel. Great heel. What he does is he basically hands out, like, pamphlets on, like, basically him, like, life coaching you to be a better person, essentially. And he wears, like, the mic, like, headset mic to the ring and basically tries to, what's the right word? He tries to, I don't know why I'm blanking on the most basic word ever right now. Recruit. That's what I'm trying to think of. He tries to basically recruit people to be, you know, living his type of lifestyle. So, he's great. And I know I just glanced over Yuta, but if you want to... some of my favorite stuff of his, he does a lot of great stuff for, like, Beyond Wrestling, but check out Wheeler Yuta and Dojo Pro. It's available on Amazon, and I think most of their stuff's probably on Facebook and YouTube free at this point. But you'll see me in the crowd there, for sure. Very small crowd right around the ring for Dojo Pro, but that's probably my favorite work. Oh, or Wheeler Yuta had a really good match in SUP as well. He's done good stuff in SUP, too, Southern Underground Pro. So shout out to Wheeler Yuta. AJ Gray, talk about all the time on this show. For those of you who do not know about AJ Gray, all I can really say is just check his matches out in any company, whether it's SUP, SCI, Glory Pro, anywhere else. I mean, the guy just does incredible work everywhere he goes. A total hybrid of a wrestler, does great power stuff, high-flying stuff. He's great on the mic. He's great on commentary. Very big fan of Rich Homie Juice, AJ Gray. Danhausen, love seeing him in Ring of Honor. He's lobbying hard for a full-time contract right now, it seems, which, you know, hope the best for Danhausen. Also on this show, we had Alice Garcia versus Alley Cat. Shout out to Alley Cat, the heart and soul of SUP. We have the Philly Marino Experience versus the production, which is Derek Director and Eddie Only, versus the Jollyville Fuckets, the team of Russ Myers and T-Money, versus Duke Money, which is the team of Jock Sampson and Mance Warner. I'm a huge fan of a lot of these people. The Jollyville Fuckets and the production, I think, are very underrated teams, both of them. Especially the Fuckets. Like, I think the production is more underrated than the Fuckets are, but I think the Fuckets, it's so funny saying all that, they go by the Effets, I believe, on most shows now. But I think that they're, like, they're more, like, ready right now. Like if the Jollyville Fuckets showed up on, like, Impact or AEW or something at some point, like, it really wouldn't surprise me. Whereas I just don't see the production being at that same level. But it's hard to say why that is. I think I prefer Eddie Only to Derek Director, and that's not a slight on Derek Director. I've seen a lot of Eddie Only singles matches, and I actually prefer him as a singles wrestler versus being a part of the production. So maybe that's where that disconnect is for me. But nonetheless, I have seen some very good matches that the production has been a part of. So I am a fan of theirs. But I think the Falcons are probably the best team in this match, just my personal opinion. But the best overall performer in this match is Mance Warner. Someone else I talk about all the time on this show. He's one of, if not the most ready people to be on a national stage right now. Like, they can pick him up from, he's doing, you know, stuff in MLW, and they can, if they can just get him from, I don't think he's really locked into anything serious contractually. Even if he is, a major company needs to figure it out and get Mance Warner ASAP, because he is ready. He's actually the person I most want to see wrestle Cody Rhodes, or just Cody, I guess I should say, for the TNT Championship, because Cody announced that people that are not signed to AEW will be allowed to have chances at the TNT title. Mance Warner is on the top of my list of people I want to see get a shot at that. Also on the show, we had Tim Donce versus Tom Lawler. Great matchup stylistically between those two guys. I've been a fan of Tom Lawler for a real long time, since his UFC run. We have Big Twan Tucker versus Swoggle in a complete mismatch. Big Twan Tucker, somebody got a lot of size, very good in the ring. And he's somebody that I don't know Twan personally. I've never spoken to him, but he's somebody that everybody seems to have a lot of really good things to say about. Everybody I know that has had experiences, whether it was, you know, at shows or just through social media or even, you know, other people who do podcasts, people who run interviews on podcasts, they all seem to really, really, really like Big Twan Tucker. So basically just kind of through association, I like Big Twan Tucker because people that I'm good friends with that I really respect, they say such great things about the guy that it makes me think that, you know, he must be a really great dude. Then you have Swoggle, who, you know, everyone, of course, remembers as Hornswoggle from his run in the WWE. Most recently, making a lot of appearances on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast YouTube channel. So shout out to the Major Marks out there. And, yeah, once again, huge mismatch there between Swoggle and Big Twan. We had Eddie Kingston versus Zach Thomas. Good matchup here as well. Eddie Kingston, obviously, just... if there is a level of gods on the independent wrestling scene, he is in that category as far as just an all-time great when it comes to wrestling. Not just independent wrestling, but I kind of mainly independent wrestling. He's just a guy who just never really had an opportunity in the WWE or, you know, WCW or ECW. Just bad timing, I guess. But whatever. I mean, he has obviously had, you know, runs in Impact Wrestling and stuff like that. But, and, you know, currently part of NWA. So, I mean, he's out there and everybody knows about Eddie Kingston. I guess that's kind of the more important thing to mention is even if you only watch WWE or you only watch, you know, New Japan or whatever it is, if you got like this one company that's your thing, you're not really like that into professional wrestling just as a whole, pretty much everybody still knows the name Eddie Kingston. And that, I think, is pretty damn cool. So shout out to Eddie Kingston, and also shout out to Kingston because I know he watches MMA on Point videos on YouTube. So glad you liked the content, Eddie. We also have the AIW tag team title match on this show between To Infinity and Beyond, which is the team of Cheech and Colin Delaney, versus the Young Studs, the team of Bobby Beverly and Eric Ryan. And yes, that is the same Colin Delaney who was a part of the WWECW. Back during the that terrible relaunch of the ECW brand under WWE management. We also had the AIW Intense title match between Matthew Justice and Dominic Guarini. Very, very big fan of both of these guys. I talk about both these guys all the time, pretty much every show. I'll say it again. I've said it 1,000 times, but I'll say it again. Matthew Justice is ready, similar to Mance Warner. He's a guy that I can see just popping up on any major promotion right now and making an impact, pun kind of intended, because I could totally see him going to Impact Wrestling and becoming a big-time player there. But, you know, I could also definitely see him in AEW or NXT or something like that. I think very, very highly of Matthew Justice, and I think he checks every box that you're looking for in a star in professional wrestling. Same with Mance Warner. Those two guys are at the top. I talk about this totem pole all the time, but if there was a totem pole of the best independent wrestlers in the world, and there was, like, you know, categories of, like, the ones that are ready right now to be on a major stage, and then, you know, it's, you know, maybe the next level down, there's maybe 5-10 levels or whatever it is. The top level, the top of the totem pole, the ready to go right now, Matthew Justice is in that category, for sure. Him and Mance, both. Dominic Guarini, somebody who's just a little bit lower on that totem pole. He's somebody that I am a huge fan of. He's another guy that I know watches MMA on Point videos, which I think is awesome. He's a guy that I've met multiple times at Southern Underground Pro shows. Very nice guy, legitimate jiu-jitsu practitioner, and he's somebody that just continues to get better and better. So I don't mean any disrespect where I say he's like a couple rungs lower than Matthew Justice is as far as like my totem pole goes. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have great matches against pretty much everybody. I just currently prefer him as a tag team worker, to be totally honest. I think his team with Kevin Koo of Violence is Forever suits both of those two guys perfectly. But Guarini has had some really great singles matches too. He was the sub-Bone Storm champion, which I highly respect because that's probably, I shouldn't even say probably, I'm pretty darn biased, like, but that is my favorite independent wrestling promotion, is SUP. And Greeny was our champion for quite a while. So I'm a very big fan of his. And him and Matthew Justice is a great matchup. But Dominic Greeny is somebody that needs a little more work to get to that next level, but he's going to get there. Like, I mean, he's doing stuff in MLW. He is going to get there. It's just taking a little bit of time, but there's nothing wrong with that. I have total faith that Dominic Greeny will be on a major stage at some point in the next handful of years. And, you know, once again, MLW is nothing to scoff at either. I mean, that's a pretty damn good spot to be in at Dominic Greeny's stage right now. In the main event of this show, we have PB Smooth versus MJF for the absolute title. Yeah, obviously, I mean, that says it all right there. PB Smooth versus MJF. Just check it out. I've said this 1,000 times, too. I think MJF is the most valuable person that AEW currently has as far as long-term, as far as people that are going to make them the most money over the most amount of time. If MJF can stay healthy, he can be the biggest heel in wrestling for the next decade plus if his storylines are good and he can stay healthy. And I have faith that he can do that, because he's also very, very, very underrated in the ring. There's a lot of people that don't understand how good he is, but he just doesn't do a lot of the stuff he can, because it would draw, you know, a cheer from the crowd. It would, even with no crowd out there, I mean, people watching at home would like what he was doing. So, yeah, I'm a humongous MJF fan. So once again, that is my recommended show this week on IWTV. It is Absolute Intense Wrestling's 7-Year Itch and is available right now. Up next, I have a recommended match for you to check out. It is on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel, and it was uploaded a while back, actually like a couple years ago, but it's a match that I think y'all should check out because it's incredible, and I'm a really, really big fan of both guys. It is Ring of Honor's Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll from Reach for the Sky 2016. It's available for free. You have Ospreay, who I mentioned earlier in the show. I mean, he's probably the best in-ring, as far as just straight impressive, like the stuff that he can do in the ring. And now that he's also become like a heavyweight, he's a heavyweight size now, as far as like, you know, New Japan and stuff. He's mixing in more striking and a bit more power along with the high-flying arsenal that he does that really nobody else can really do quite like him. I mean, Ospreay is just, he's just next level. He's probably the best overall performer not signed to AEW or WWE at the moment. Obviously, once again, he's with New Japan, and he does a lot of awesome stuff all over the place. But, like, as far as, like, you know, major U.S. promotions are concerned, then I guess you also have to kind of take into account, like, Okada and those kind of... So there's quite a few out there, but I think y'all know the point I'm trying to make. Well, Ospreay is really as good as it gets. And Marty Scurll, I think, is pretty much on that same level. Not in the ring. They're not very different styles of wrestling. But Marty Scurll's character and, like, his entrance and his demeanor and his moveset and everything he does fits him just so perfectly. Scurll is, I mean, he's just a fantastic wrestler, fantastic character. Once again, I love his entrance, his Ring of Honor entrance. And whoop, whoop, I just... Great, great, great stuff. And it's a great match from a great show. I'll actually tell you the other matches on the show real quick. I won't break them down for, you know, the sense of saving some time here. But once again, on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel, just, you know, you can just search Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll, and the recommended match that I've got is from Reach for the Sky 2016. And check it out for free. Nothing else to really talk about with Ring of Honor this week. They just have another kind of compilation best of for Rouge, I believe, was from this week over on their website. So you can check that out if you'd like, but no new matches or anything to talk about. But that Reach for the Sky 2016, this is how loaded that whole show is. So this is actually somewhat of a recommended show also if you want to check this out, if you can find it. We had Dalton Castle versus Leo Rush. the Motor City Machine Guns versus the Addiction, and of course, the Motor City Machine Guns is Al Schell and Chris Sabin. The Addiction is Christopher Daniels and Frank Kazarian, now known as SCU. We had Donovan Dijak, who's now Dominic Dijakovic, taking on Jay White, who obviously has since become a major star in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I mentioned Leo Rush earlier against Dalton Castle. Leo Rush, of course, has had a WWE run since then. He's no longer there. Dalton Castle is still a major part of Ring of Honor. Also on the show, you have the Young Bucks. We all know about where the Young Bucks are at now. Jeez, a lot has happened since then versus the Briscoes. This match has happened a lot of times, but two of the best tag teams of all time, in my opinion, and definitely two of the best tag teams in the history of Ring of Honor going at it right there. We also had Kyle O'Reilly versus Travis Banks. Great stylistic matchup right there. Kyle O'Reilly, part of the Undisputed Era in NXT. Travis Banks, part of NXT UK. Both very, very high-level workers. We also had, once again, Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll on the show. That was for the Ring of Honor TV title. I forgot to mention that. So, title on the line there, too. And the main event was Jay Lethal versus Adam Cole for the ROH World Championship. Of course, Jay Lethal is still a major part of Ring of Honor TV. And Adam Cole, the current NXT champion, who will be defending his title tonight against Velveteen Dream. So, awesome stuff. Check out Ring of Honor. Support Ring of Honor. And let's move on now to 205 Live. So, as far as results for the most recent show, we had Oney Lorcan defeating Tahuti Miles. The finish came by roll-up. Kind of similar to how Miles beat Birch last week, but just kind of opposite where Lorcan got the win. So it's kind of strange that he's like wrestling the tag team back-to-back, but Lorcan's getting wins and Birch is getting losses. Don't really have a problem with it at all. Solid stuff. It's no problem with it, like I said, just interesting. The only other match we had on 205 Live was Isaiah Swerve Scott defeating Jack Gallagher. The finish came when Scott hit a roll-up on Gallagher, and then Tony Nese came out and attacked Swerve. So they're continuing some sort of storyline between Swerve and Tony Nese, which I think will be pretty good. I have no problem with it. Nese and Swerve are two of the best on the roster, on the 205 Live roster. So I think they'll have some really good matches with each other. But more importantly, this didn't happen on 205 Live, but on NXT TV on Wednesday on USA Network, Drake Maverick and Phantasma wrestled in the finals of the NXT Interim Cruiserweight title tournament, such a mouthful, and Phantasma won the match after those masked luchadors helped him defeat Drake Maverick. So Phantasma is the new interim champion, but the strange thing is they hadn't mentioned interim like at all in recent weeks. So it feels like they're just treating Phantasma as the champion, as like the undisputed champion. But Jordan Devlin never lost his title, and he hasn't been stripped of the title as far as I know, and they haven't made any mention of a unification or anything. And I get that he's stuck in the UK, but yeah, I don't know what's going on here, because like even Sami Zayn was stripped of the Intercontinental title because he wasn't doing the shows and stuff. So like, it's very strange all the way around. But Phantasma has this black title belt, which I actually like much more than the purple title belt. And I'm a purple guy, by the way. I'm a lifelong diehard fan of the Minnesota Vikings. I wear purple often on Sundays, and I still prefer the black belt to the purple belt, just personally. It's also definitely worth mentioning that Drake Maverick is he was offered a contract by Triple H right after the match in a pretty emotional moment. Looks like he's re-signed with NXT. I don't know how I feel about all of it, to be honest. I'm very happy for Drake Maverick. If that's where he wants to work and where he wants to stay, and he's happy with what's happened, then I'm very happy for Drake Maverick. I've met Spud, Maverick, whatever you want to call him, in person many times. He worked the Nashville Fairgrounds a lot while I lived there before he got signed to the WWE. He's a great guy, universally praised and liked by all the wrestlers and all the fans that I've ever really heard him associate with. So I'm a very, very big fan of his as a person and as a performer. I think he's an underrated performer too. I think his size has just kind of held him back. If he was a bit bigger, I think his career would have, you know, it's just unfortunate. But I think that he's doing great things now, and he's created a buzz for himself now, and they might give him a real push now. I don't know. But it is weird to play with someone's emotions like that. I mean, if you know, I have to assume that it was real when he got furloughed or fired or whatever, right? Like, I have to assume that that video he put out right after was him really unsure about his future and really crying and all that. And it's great to see him get it, his job back. But there's also, like, 30, 40 other people that that happened to that didn't get theirs back. And it's kind of weird how they presented it to me. And I hate to be negative in any way, shape, or form about this, but, like, you know, Triple H essentially came out, and I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially came out and was like, Maverick, you know, went out there and, you know, proved his, you know, that he, you know, he wants it and he deserves it and he's here and he loves it and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but, I mean, I'm sure so did all the other people that lost their jobs. It's just Maverick happened to be a part of a tournament that was already going on, and he was like the ultimate team player and decided to still do the matches even though he wasn't even going to be with the company anymore, or at least so he thought. But the really messed up thing would be if it was all a storyline, like if Maverick never lost his job and that video was fake and like this was just a storyline all along, I would be very upset as a fan if that was the case. Because, yeah, I just, that wouldn't sit well with me if that was the case. So it's a strange situation, but at the end of the day, I am very happy that Maverick has his job back. If he wants to stay with that company, I mean, it is just strange all around, especially because now it's like, anybody who re-signs with the WWE anytime soon that was, like, recently let go, it's got to be in the back of their mind where it's like, well, I'm clearly, like, the lowest on the totem pole here. Like, the next time anything goes wrong, like, I'm on the chopping block. I've already been chopped off before. Like, they're going to do it again the next time that, like, anything goes wrong. Like, I'm next to get fired. I would always have that feeling in the back of my mind, which that would be kind of hard to live with, you know, for me at least. I think I'm a bit too anxious of a person to want to deal with that, but I don't know. It's also a lot of people's dream job, and it's like, well, just ride it out as long as you possibly can. So I don't know. But nonetheless, Phantasma is the new interim champion, I think, or just the champion now. It's very hard to know based on what WWE's told us at this point, so. That's that for the cruiserweights. Moving on, we have Impact Wrestling results for their most recent show that was available on Access TV and Twitch. Started off with Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz defeating Kylie Rae and Susie. Finish came by Fisherman Suplex by Kiera for the pin in the 1-2-3. After that, Joey Ryan defeated Crazy Steve. Got the win with a super kick after the Chris brothers, they distract Crazy Steve, and Jake winds up turning on Dave and joins Canceled Culture. I think I had a hard time saying that for some reason, Cancel Culture, with Joey Ryan, so that's getting a little more interesting. I like the Joey Ryan Cancel Culture stuff. I haven't really talked about it much in recent weeks, but I do like the change in character. I think it suits him well, because you can only do like the dick flip stuff for so long, or you know, if you, they can always go back to that kind of character really at any point. But it obviously has a lot of kind of, you know, Right to Censor vibes for me, which I'm okay with. I think the Right to Censor is actually a great heel stable, which is kind of, I don't know, it actually wasn't even done really incorrectly. That basically, the only thing that held the Right to Censor back was none of them wound up winning, like, major titles during it. Like, there might have been, like, an Intercontinental title or a Hardcore title, you know, European title, tag titles, that kind of stuff. But there was never, like, you know, Stevie Richards, who was the leader, you know, he never even, like, sniffed the World Heavyweight title while he was the leader of Right to Censor. Had they done that, like, had Stevie Richards, like, in hindsight, had Stevie Richards been, like, the world champion during that, Right to Censor would be looked at as a completely different thing. So, that's just my own thoughts on that. But nonetheless, once again, Joey Ryan with the win over Crazy Steve. And like I said, I do like the cancel culture gimmick up to this point. After that, we had Rahit Raju defeating Chase Stevens. Rahit got the win with a diving stomp for the 1-2-3. It's strange seeing Chase Stevens still a part of Impact. He's, you know, honestly, I kind of have to put him in the same category as like why, you know, and once again, I don't dislike these people as human beings. I want to make that really clear. Like, I'm very happy for someone like Johnny Swinger or even, you know, someone like Sandman or Sabu or whoever it is that can still show up on these shows and, you know, get work and be on TV. Like, I can't blame them for being a part of it and wanting to take part. I mean, it's, why wouldn't you if you're them? But I have Chase Stevens in kind of the same boat as, like, why am I seeing Chase Stevens on TNA Wrestling? Well, I say he was a part of TNA Wrestling. Why am I seeing him on Impact now in 2020? Why am I seeing, like I said, Johnny Swinger? And even, like, Rhino is at that point with me now to a pretty big extent. And I'm a pretty big Rhino fan. Rob Van Dam, I like that they've changed him up a little bit. But, like, you know, especially clear when I read out results like what I'm reading right now to y'all, because there's so much just great young talent, and we're going to get to that, especially in the main event. But yeah, it's just kind of how I feel. It's like beating Chase Stevens to me really doesn't mean much. And it's funny because I actually have mutual friends with Chase Stevens in real life, me and him actually just, we share a lot of mutual friends. We lived in pretty close areas in Tennessee over the last few years. And I've heard some crazy stories about Chase Stevens, and I'm not saying I dislike him as a person once again, but it's just like, I don't know why he's got a spot and an Impact in 2020. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, considering the roster they have, which includes everybody involved in this match. You know, especially the Rascals, you know, TJP and Fall Out Boy, really what they do as well. But we had the Rascals defeating TJP and Fall Out Boy. The finish came when Dez countered a knee bar into a pin to get the 1-2-3. Very big fan of the Rascals in the ring. And it's good to see TJP still, you know, a part of Impact Wrestling. Because he's very talented in the ring, and I think he got kind of a bad shake in WWE. But I do also think he needs to be kind of careful about what he's tweeting out right now, because he has said some kind of questionable stuff. I'm very pro free speech. I think people can say pretty much whatever they want, but like, I've seen kind of the backlash for some of the stuff he's been saying, and it's like, man, some people, I just think, once again, free speech is totally fine. I have no issue with it at all. You can say really whatever you want. It's very, very difficult to offend me. So it's like, I may just have thicker skin than others when it comes to that stuff. I don't know. But like, sometimes I think it's just better just not to say anything at all in a lot of cases. Just kind of keep your opinion to yourself when it comes to certain topics. And, you know, that's just my own opinion about that. The main event, so this was strange. We had what was supposed to be Ace Austin versus Trey in the finals of the number one contender for the Impact World Title Tournament. And Trey wound up getting attacked backstage, and it wound up being Wentz versus Ace Austin for the number one contender. And Ace Austin wound up winning. He got the win with his finish, the fold. And he will now, well, he has now become the number one contender for Tessa Blanchard's Impact World title. So that'll be interesting. I believe that'll be at Slammiversary in July. We haven't seen Tessa for quite a while, not at all during the pandemic. So that's interesting. And it's also interesting because Moose is carrying around this TNA world title still. So how does he fit into the world title mix? I don't know. But I will say this. I like seeing Ace Austin win. I think he was the right person. And I said it even during his X Division title run. I was like, when he loses this X Division title, if they can do it the right way, if he can lose it to the right person, Ace Austin can definitely be a big star in the heavyweight division. He could even maybe be the world champion. And that's exactly what's happening. I love how this has played out, because he lost the title to Willie Mack, who I think is a very worthy champion. And Willie Mack is another guy that I want to see as the Impact World title, world champion, I should say. Hold the world title, but, you know, it's cool that he has the X Division title at the moment. But you know, if you're asking me personally, I would much rather see Ace Austin with the Impact World title than Tessa Blanchard. And I think Tessa, being the first female world champion, was great, and I think she deserved it. She has damn good matches, especially when it comes to intergender wrestling matches. I think she does it better than pretty much any other woman on the planet. And I mean that as a huge compliment. But I'm just going to be honest. I'm more entertained by Ace Austin. I just think he's more fun to watch wrestle. It's that simple. Like, if I had to choose Tessa or Ace, who would I rather see as the world champion? Ace Austin. And so I'm hoping he defeats her for the title. But either way, I'm just hoping for a really good match. So that was Impact this week. Moving on, we have some new YouTube content on the NWA YouTube channel. Just a few things to let y'all know about. So we have What's Causing All This, Episode 2, his podcast, All This Talking to Cowboy James Storm. We have a Meet Mama Storm video where Tim Storm interviews his mother. We have Inside the NWA podcast, Episode 3, Tim Storm's the guest there. So a lot of Tim Storm content this week. We have the Eli Drake Show. So he's talking about exiting the company. I haven't listened yet, but I'm imagining he talks quite a bit about leaving Impact Wrestling. And we also have Girl Power Episode 2, a female podcast, and it's a conversation about Black Lives Matter movement and protests. So that is the new stuff to check out on the NWA YouTube channel. I love that they continue to keep pumping out more content for people, because obviously they're not having matches at the moment, and putting on, you know, new shows at the moment, but at least they're putting out podcasts and content for people, so I've got to respect them for that. But I am looking forward to more episodes of Power, and I'm very much looking forward to the return of the Crockett Cup. The Crockett Cup. Getting all tongue-tied. The Crockett Cup. Which I'm hoping to go to live, because if it's going to still take place, you know, in or around where it was originally scheduled, I live close to there, so I can actually go. So that's that for NWA this week. Moving on, we have a recap for Being the Elite. This episode is titled Gig. It starts off with Brandon Cutler talking to Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, telling them basically in a room that they need to go and do media. When he comes back to get them for their media, he sees all three of them bleeding. Omega, it turns out, was using hot sauce to make it look like he was bleeding. Nick Jackson used vampire blood, which is like, you know, like fake blood that you can buy from like a Halloween store or whatever. And Matt Jackson used a blade, like he actually bladed. And then we get a segment where Matt Hardy is explaining what blading is, because he's been talking about all these inside wrestling terms each week. So he explains blading. And then after that, we see the Young Bucks talking about how FTR is finally a part of AEW, and like the dream match between those two teams is finally a possibility. So very interested there, of course. After that, we get a PSA, a public swole announcement. I don't think these are very good. I think these are actually very cringe. Big Swole is very good in the ring. I got to give her credit for that. Very athletic, very good in the ring. I think that these public Swole announcements are really lame, and I think that her ring name, Big Swole, is really lame as well. I don't. When I think of Big Swole, I think of like Brian Cage or like Keith Lee or like Brock Lesnar or something. Big Swole. I mean, it's like I do not think of her. You know, it's just gotta throw that out there. I'm sure I've talked about it before. It just bothers me. So it's a weird ring name. It doesn't make really any sense. It's like, I don't know. It's like if I came out to the ring in a gigantic orange suit and a big orange hat and I was called the blue guy or something. It's like, wait a second, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And these public swole announcements just don't do it for me at all. She talks about not drinking Lysol. Alright. After that, we had the Best Friends. They are trying to come up with a new Being the Elite bit. There's a couple of these. I'll just mash them all together as one part of the review. I thought these were hilarious. I love the Best Friends. They're three of my favorite wrestlers in the world. I love all three. Trent is trying to think of new Being the Elite bits, and he's just like, can't think of anything. Chuck Taylor's like, man, I can be the new sex symbol of AEW, and like I'll come out to the ring in a car, and everyone's gonna be cheering me, and like I can go up against Moxley for the title, and And then Trent's just like, dude, these aren't being the elite bullets. These are ideas for matches. And they're like, ah, can't come up with anything. And then Trent's like, oh, I got something. And he basically lays out the plot for the movie A Land Before Time. Or I guess I should say the movie series Land Before Time. So obviously he's just talking about a movie script. And then Orange Cassidy goes to think about what he's going to, you know, come up for his idea. And while he's, like, thinking about it, Chuck Taylor's like, oh, we know it's going to be Fast and the Furious. And he starts, like, explaining. For those of you who don't know, Orange Cassidy, most of the time when he does, like long-form talking where he's, like, actually, like, just going on about something versus just, like, little one-word answers and or not talking at all, it's usually him going on and on about Fast and Furious movies. So Chuck Taylor is like, it's going to be Fast and Furious. And it's so funny because Trent is corpsing. He's like laughing to the side. Like you can tell he's like legitimately trying not to laugh his ass off. And then Orange Cassidy comes out and then starts talking about Fast and Furious. And that's just the end of it. After that we get, basically a video package about how TH2 is being overlooked. Like they weren't a part of the inaugural tag team title tournament and they are being overlooked in my opinion. I think that it'll be refreshing to see them come back to TV, maybe with a little bit of a push. I think Angelico is pretty entertaining, but, Jack Evans is somebody he was one of the first indie wrestlers I remember watching back in like the early 2000s. It's just crazy that it's taken this long for Evans to, like, get on, like, a real major stage. Like, he was a part of, you know, he's done stuff in, like, major companies, like, you know, Ring of Honor, of course. That's where I first saw him, was in Ring of Honor forever ago. I believe he did stuff in New Japan, I believe. I can't really remember, like, vividly. He was a part of Wrestling Society X on MTV, I remember that. But anyways, I would like to see more of him, because this is basically his big chance, I feel like, and, there's things about him that it's a little off as far as, like, I get why. Because it's weird, because, like, I have all this, like, respect and appreciation for Jack Evans, because I remember all the stuff he did in, like, the early 2000s and stuff. So, like, I've always just kind of been a Jack Evans fan. And I know his relationship with the Harts, and I remember a lot of the stuff he did with Teddy Hart and all that, and the new Hart Foundation and all that. So I have this big respect for Teddy Hart's a different story. I love Teddy Hart in the ring, but outside of the ring, it's hard to get behind the guy. Jack Evans, you know, there are things that, like, you know, I think, like, I don't know, there's something about him where he just comes off. He actually did great stuff in Lucha Underground as well. Didn't mention that. But he just doesn't come off as the kind of guy who's ever going to be, like, a world title threat or anything like that. And, like, maybe something can change and do that. I just feel like, I don't know, I guess the best way of saying it, I've already said, I just feel like Jack Evans, this is, like, his last big chance on a big stage. And I'd like to see him get some big opportunities while he's got the chance. Especially because of the way his in-ring style has been for all these years. I feel like his body can't possibly hold up for much longer. I'm surprised he's made it this long. Also on the show, we had Kenny Omega walking around in backstage, it looked like, and he's looking to punch Colt Cabana in the face. He sees somebody wearing Colt Cabana's ring gear-looking stuff. He goes to punch him, and he turns around, and it's actually Chris Harrington. Chris Harrington totally punks out Kenny Omega, and it turns out that Harrington is friends with Colt, and Kenny is very afraid of getting beat up by Chris Harrington. Dustin Rhodes is talking to that fortune teller guy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head for some reason. He's talking to him about QT Marshall and Allie. And then we see Allie is also talking to that same fortune teller afterwards. We get what I think is finally the end, the finale of this whole private party. I guess they're calling it like a movie. I don't even know. I thought this whole thing was really bad. I'm going to be dead honest. I was not a fan at all of that whole thing. I mean, it was really well shot. Like, the cameras they used were good. Private Party is one of my favorite in-ring tag teams in the world. Like, especially Mark Quinn, who is going to be wrestling Cody for the TNT title this upcoming week on Dynamite, which I'm very much looking forward to. Very big fan of the guys in the ring. But this whole story and this whole quote-unquote movie or whatever, it didn't do anything for me. I thought it was very dumb, just being totally honest. It basically culminates with the painted dude who did the Pentagon arm break thing last week and has kind of the Pentagon face paint, but definitely isn't Pentagon without a mask, and apparently he smells bad and stuff. I can't remember all of it. Him and the teddy bear basically beat Private Party in a ladder match where there's $12 that the teddy bear grabs. The dude with the Nintendo Switch that was on... he was on Dynamite this past week. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name. I am sorry about that. But he becomes a part of this too. Like, so he's linked to Private Party now also, which I guess can be interesting. It kind of reminds me of, like, this is going to be a very obscure reference to probably most people listening to this, but if you remember the movie Surf Ninjas from back in, like, the mid-90s, one of the kids would carry around a Sega Game Gear. And this Sega Game Gear basically, like, would show him what was happening in real life around them. So, like, when the bad guys would come, basically a big group of ninjas would pop up to, like, fight them. And these kids, these surf ninjas, would fight them off. And the kid with the Sega Game Gear would be sitting there playing it like a game on his Game Gear. And what he was playing, a lot of that stuff would be happening in the fights around them. And that kind of reminds me of this whole thing with the dude carrying around a Nintendo Switch, which, by the way, is my favorite game console at the moment. I love my Nintendo Switch. I've been playing a lot of it lately. But it kind of reminds me of that. And, like, I don't know if that's where the influence comes from. I have no idea, but just thought it was something I've been thinking about. And like I said, I think that whole thing is over. I don't know if it's leading to a more of a storyline. Like, I don't know if we're going to see, like, this teddy bear or this painted dude, like, in more of the, like, involved in, like, their TV show on Dynamite or what. I have no idea, but I honestly feel like it was a gigantic waste of time, just being totally honest. After that, we see the Elite in the locker room together. Hangman calls over the Young Bucks and Kenny. Like, I think that's who all was in the ring. Cody wasn't in there. They calls him to, like, a huddle and doesn't call over Matt Hardy. He's like, hey, hold on a second. And he's talking to the other guys, like, in this huddle, and he's like, who the fudge is that guy? And he doesn't say fudge. He's like, who the F is this guy? And they're like, it's Matt Hardy. And he's like, what, that's Matt Hardy? Like, Hangman hasn't put together up to this point that guy they've been hanging out with this whole time, who's been talking to them about Abe Lincoln and all these old figures in history, is actually Matt Hardy this whole time. So the other guys are explaining that it's Matt Hardy and the whole Damascus thing. And Hardy starts talking to him and calls him the man that hangs. Instead of Hangman, he's the man that hangs. And then Hardy starts thinking that Hangman is actually Benjamin Franklin. And then Hangman just gets kind of freaked out by the whole thing and leaves. And then they talk more about Abe Lincoln as the show ends. So that was this latest episode of Being the Elite, once again titled Gig, and it is available for free on YouTube. All right, very quickly, I'm going to give you my predictions for NXT TakeOver In Your House, which, as of the time of this recording, is starting in, like, an hour. So here we go. I'm going to take Mia Yim, Shotzi Blackheart, and Tegan Nox to defeat Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. I'm going to take Keith Lee to retain the NXT North American Championship over Johnny Gargano. I'm going to take Karrion Kross to defeat Tommaso Ciampa. I'm going to take Io Shirai to defeat Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley to become the new NXT Women's Champion in the Women's Triple Threat. I'm going to take Finn Balor to defeat Damian Priest. And I'm going to take Adam Cole to retain the NXT Championship over Velveteen Dream in the Last Chance Backlot Brawl, where the stipulation is Velveteen Dream cannot challenge the NXT World title anymore if he loses this match, as long as Cole is still the champion. Alright, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at FightTalk_. That's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.